chapter 13. In chapter 12, you remember that God continued to mention, to bring up over and over again, that they were a rebellious house. God said that many, many times, and you started to get the impression that he was starting to mean that. That they were rebellious. They are his chosen people. The children of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the children of Israel. These are God's chosen people, yet judgment is coming, he said, and they are a rebellious house. By choice, they will not see. By choice, they will not hear. By choice, they're in big trouble. Of course, we saw that, and Ezekiel kind of wrote all that down. Now we want to take a look at chapter 13. And chapter 13 is going to talk about false prophets and false prophetesses, girls, the guys and the girls. Prophecy is not just telling the future or foretelling what will be. Prophecy is also foretelling what God says. In other words, God's word. So many of you are literally acting in a prophetic place when you are quoting the Bible to somebody. When you're reading the Bible to someone, that is just as much prophecy as if you were saying, "Thus saith the Lord, in 3 weeks your hair's gonna fall out." You know, that kind of thing. That's usually what people consider prophecy, is if it tells what will be. But prophecy is also forthtelling the Word of God. And, chapter 13 doesn't have good things to say about the prophets and prophetesses in Israel. So we'll begin it this way. Chapter 13, verse 1 says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy. And say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing." All right, right away, you can see this is a negative in your life if you were one of the prophets there in Israel, or one of the prophets that have been taken into captivity. The prophets are prophesying out of their own hearts, he says. Of their own imaginations, they are prophesying. The message that they are speaking is out of their own spirits. They are not hearing from the Lord, and the visions that they are seeing are not from the Lord. So basically, the Lord says they are seeing nothing. Now think about that. Prophesying is not only telling what will be, but it is also speaking out or foretelling God's word. And he says, they're not speaking my word out. They are saying what they think. They're making this up in their own hearts, in their own imaginations. Now that's a scary thought when you think that you and I, who have been entrusted with God's word, could walk out and instead of saying this is exactly what God says, we could say, well, God says something sort of like about tennis shoes. Something, you know, you want to be careful about that. That is prophecy. That is the gift of prophecy is exercised. You'll notice when anyone teaches or when anyone speaks forth God's word. So the prophets were saying, thus saith the Lord. And the things they were speaking out, God didn't say it. They made it up in their own heads. This came from their own hearts. This came from their own imaginations. You know, there are many today, many that teach and preach, and it does not come from God's word. They'll quote a scripture or two, you know, and they'll say, we're going to teach today from Matthew chapter 12. And they'll read a couple of scriptures. But then if you listen to them, they just go off on their own little, there they go. And they'll come back every once in a while saying, yeah, and don't forget, this is the point. And you're thinking, where are they going with this? What are they talking about? That's a false prophecy. It's coming from their own hearts, from their own imaginations. And they're doing hold conferences on them anymore. I've been seeing that advertised a lot lately on television. These conferences where you go and they're victory conferences or they're overcoming conferences. And the message is overcoming and we're going to overcome. And there's a guy that I listened to one of his messages because they had the video on television. And it was a whole message on overcoming, and he spoke an hour, but he talked about two verses. But he spoke a whole hour, and some of this stuff was basically coming out of, maybe he learned it in psychology in college, or maybe he's found it out in his own life, and this little technique seemed to work. So he's reading a couple of scriptures, and this is all coming from his own imagination. All from his own heart. And God says, they are prophesying. Well, let me read the language. Prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy. They're prophesying out of their own hearts, out of their own imagination. They're making this stuff up. They're not getting this from me. This isn't what my word says. He says, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God. Woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Now, how would you feel if you found out that the person that's been teaching you the Bible, or this person that's been saying, thus saith the Lord, really has been speaking from their own heart? Maybe they went to sleep and they ate something that was really, really spicy, and they had this vision during the night, and they come and they stick a couple of scriptures to it, and then they're passing this on as what God showed them. How would you feel about that if later on you listen to it and down the road a ways, God says to you, what are you doing here? And you said, well, the prophet said, and God looked at you and said, that's not my prophet. He didn't speak, or she didn't speak from me. They were speaking from their own imaginations. They were speaking from their own heart. What are you doing here? Elijah prophesy against the prophets. Man. You know, there's got to be a way for you and for me, for Christians, there must be a way to tell when the prophets speak, there must be a way to tell whether we ought to put stock in what they're saying or not. There has to be a way. And I know that because 1 John chapter 4 specifically says so. Beloved, this is 1 John 4 verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now that's 1 John. That's not back in Ezekiel's day with all these false prophets we're talking about. That's in the days of the New Testament. That's when John was an older man. All the other disciples are now dead and gone. All the other apostles, excuse me. And God says to John, write this down. And John says to the Christians, beloved, or brethren, family, those loved by God, don't believe every spirit, but test them. Why? Because many false, hear it, prophets have gone out into the world. Here in New Testament times, John is saying, you can't believe everybody that shows up on the radio, on television, or to your church. You cannot believe them. You can't just listen to them and assume that what they're saying is correct. You've got to test it. That's your responsibility as a believer. You have to test it. Because what if that person is a false prophet and you went down the wrong path because of it? What will God do? Yes, he will judge that prophet, but he will hold you responsible and accountable for where you're at, won't he? So Christian, you test the spirits. You test because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 31. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And listen closely. And my people love to have it that way. King James says, my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? People don't want to read their Bibles because they're busy. Sometimes they say, I can't understand it when I read it myself. Sometimes they say, the truth is, I just don't remember to do it. I just don't remember. I mean, there are many, probably multitude, millions of excuses, but people don't want to do it. It seems to be a chore. It's just like homework. Remember how we, not all of us, but remember how many of us just didn't appreciate homework. Just don't want to do that. That takes effort. That takes a little bit of time outside of and away from the classroom. And I didn't want to be in the classroom. Now you think I'm going to do classroom stuff when I'm not in the classroom? And, you know, I'll just let the teacher do my work for me. You know, I was one of those guys that tried to pay close attention because if you could get good grades on your tests, you'd do okay. So if you just pay close attention to the teacher, and if she really knew history, you could get through it. But what if the teacher taught you bad history? What if your geography teacher said that San Francisco was in Wyoming? As the old song, you know, there's that old song. San Francisco is in Wyoming. Well, and of course, we've learned just recently, about a year and a half ago, the study showed that most college age students did not know what country the Ohio River was in. These are college-age students, and so you start to worry a little bit. Maybe the teachers haven't helped them go in the right direction. Well, the Bible says, test the spirits to see whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. I was listening to one of the Calvary pastors teaching, and he's an excellent teacher. He's teaching from the book of Ruth. And he gives you the names of what the children, you know, Naomi's children. Naomi had some sons. Remember, they died down in Moab. He's giving the names of those children. And the names he gives you are nowhere to be found in any kind of publication, Greek or otherwise. Now, that's just an example. This guy's not a false prophet. That's just an example. You're going to trust him. You're going to go with it. You might want to check when someone says, because most pastors can get out of any squirmy situation by saying the original Greek means this. Right? And that's because how many of you speak Greek? Let's see here. Fluently. Oh, even less hands. Okay. So all I got to say, well, the original Greek is, and how often have you checked? Probably every time, right? Original Greek means, so's your mother. So you didn't write that down. You went and you checked. When you got out your concordance, you got some Greek study materials, and you looked, didn't you? No. Why? You want to be sure, don't you? But the truth is, it's hard. I don't have time. I got more important things to do than be using that Strong's. And if you don't have a computer to use it, my goodness, that Strong's got such tiny print. And then you start reading, and it's the aorist tense, and you're going, oh, great. Now, what is that? Aorist? Oh, sure. And here you go. Tense mood, and you think, no, not for me. We'll just let somebody do it, you know? Jeremiah says, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it that way. Because you can always say, well, that's what he said. That's what she said. How am I supposed to? I'm not a scholar. How am I supposed to know? John says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test them. You're not, you know, the Bereans were more noble than those of Thessalonica in that they did what? Search the scriptures daily to see if what Paul said was so. They aren't saying, we don't trust you, Paul, you weasel. We're going to find something wrong with what you teach. No, that wasn't the attitude. The attitude was, ooh, Paul says that the Bible teaches And this is what he says. Let's go see. Let's go read it. Let's go look. Let's be Bereans. And they were. But Jeremiah, God says it. The priests bear rule by their means. The prophets prophesy falsely. And the people love to have it so. Again, we have a tendency, well, all of us, to be lazy. Because it would require us to go read it. To actually go read it. Sometimes you've opened your Bible and you've read it. And let's be honest. You read it and it meant absolutely nothing, didn't it? Have you ever done that? You read it and you go, I could show you verses right now that if I read them to you, everyone in the room, every single, without exception, to include me, would go, what? I have no idea what is going on or what's being referred to here. So you'd have to kind of back up a chapter or two and get a running start at it, and then it'll make sense. But you'll notice there's a lot in there that sometimes your mind doesn't comprehend right away. And because you're thinking, I can't understand this, you fall into the trap of letting someone do your homework for you. That's okay if you have someone that you're sure you can trust to do your homework for you. But remember, if you are astray, God will be talking to you about it, not everybody that took you over there. Does that make sense? And the people love to have it so, because if that guy, I'll just listen to him, I'll just listen to her. She always teaches our studies, so, you know, she must know. He always teaches, he must know. You know, he's filling in. We've had people fill in. We try to be very careful who we have fill in. And sometimes you get somebody to fill in, and some of the things that they teach might not be so solid as you might think. So you're checking, aren't you? Do this when you mean yes, and this when you mean no. Jeremiah 29. Look how important, before I read you any more scriptures, look how important this is to God. You go through scriptures and you will find a lot of things that God has to say about the importance of knowing what's right and what's not, about the importance of recognizing a prophet that is of God and recognizing a prophet or prophetess that it is not of God. So important to the Lord. And he puts it on you, puts it on me. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we're not alone, but we are called upon. We must test. We need to learn to recognize. It is up to us. Well, look at Jeremiah chapter 29. Verses 8 and 9. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you. Let them not deceive you. Neither listen to your dreams which you caused to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. Let not your prophets or your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you. What's he saying to his children? What's he saying to his people? Don't let anyone lead you astray. Don't let them deceive you. How are you going to keep from being deceived? Bible study, prayer. You're going to have a personal relationship with Jesus, and you're going to have to put in some time in the Word. You're going to have to put in some time in the Word. You yourself, me, myself, we ourselves. Matthew 7. I'll read you verses 15 and 16. So I want you to see it's just not the Old Testament people who had to check it out. It's the New Testament saints, us, we as well. Matthew 7, 15 through 16 says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves, ravaging, destroying, dangerous, sharp teeth wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? So you got to watch. You can't just listen. You got to watch. And you got to watch over the long haul. You can't just say, she's just such a nice girl. I mean, look at her. She's just so good. No, years. Fruit doesn't happen overnight. Fruit does happen, but it doesn't happen overnight. You've got to watch. There has to be a pattern here. There has to be a running pattern. It's got to be, and it might take years and years. But you're going to know them by their fruit, right? So not only are you listening to what's being said, but you're seeing a life pattern. He says, beware of the false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravaging wolves. You'll know them by their fruit. Fruit doesn't sometimes show up in the first radio program or the second or the fifth. You may listen to that radio program for a year or two. There's one guy that teaches here on one of the radio stations, but he's on TV and on television as well. And you can listen to him, and some of you do. And if you listen to him and just catch him, like maybe today and then next week or a couple times next week, you're going to think this guy's a great teacher. But if you listen to him solidly, if you make it a point of listening to him or watching him, you're going to find false doctrine in what he's teaching. And he's one of the biggest teachers in the country today. But you have to pay attention. In other words, there's fruit. If you just here and there hit and miss, you're going to be recommending this guy to people. And they're going to be thrown off. Frustrating, isn't it? Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. Now I beg you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the teaching which you have learned, and avoid them. They that are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. By good words and fair speeches. So there again, they may be talking and it may be good and solid, but there has to be a pattern. There has to be a long run. There are fruits, and John and Jesus and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Well, more and more and more. You're going to find all throughout Scripture. We're warned, watch out. You need to be a man or a woman of the word. You and I, all of us, or we're going to be deceived. We're going to be taken in. And God spends this whole chapter on it. Now, there are other chapters completely given to teach or to warn against false teaching, false prophets, false doctrines, which are teachings. Verse 4 says, O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the desert. Not only is their message untrue, but their message, he says, is dangerous. Just as the foxes, or the jackals, it could also be interpreted or translated jackals, just as they live among ruins, so these live their lives there as well. In other words, the false prophets, they basically live their lives among the ruins. That's why you can come to the New Testament and Jesus will say, you'll know them by their fruit. Maybe not this week, maybe not next week, but as you watch the lives, it comes to where you can see it. They're like foxes or jackals, wild animals living among the ruins. Verse 5. You have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. These false prophets who were preaching from their own hearts, their own imaginations, not from God's word, not from what God had said, but from their own imaginations, where they got this idea. I remember we laughed at it, but it was kind of sad in a way. I remember some of the people that we would work with, and they would get these words from the Lord. They would say, I'm a prophetess, or I'm a prophet, and this is what the Lord says. And you'd look at them and say, you're crazy, you're nuts, you can't believe that. No, this is what the Lord spoke to me in a vision. I had a vision in here. And you're going, no, it goes against God's word. No, this is what God spoke. And you'd think, oh man, no one's going to listen to this. Yet, amazingly enough, people listen. Someone comes along and says, this is what God told me. Oh, by the way, I'm a prophet, and this is what God told me. And somebody listens to him. Well, they had not, these false prophets had not gone up to repair the gaps in the wall. What's he talking about? He's not talking about the wall around the city. He's talking about the moral walls of the heart of Israel. The moral, the inner workings, the spiritual heart of Israel. You see, these prophets should have been preaching the word of God and strengthening the morals and the hearts of Israel. Instead, the hearts were breaking down. The walls of the hearts were being torn down spiritually. And these had not gone up to repair those walls. They should have been teaching God's people God's word, so that the people would see the error of their ways and return to the Lord God. The children of Israel should have seen that what they were doing is wrong. But instead, the false prophets were showing them everything is okay. It's going to be all right. We're not going to be destroyed. Everything's going to be great. We're going to be living here forever. And it's all peace and safety in this great time. The people should have seen the error of their ways, but the false prophets were not allowing the moral walls to be built back up. They were allowing the moral walls in the hearts to be broken down. They weren't teaching God's word. They weren't speaking God's word. They were speaking what they thought and what made sense to them. And the visions that they were having, they thought were from the Lord. God says, I'm telling you right now, they are seeing nothing. I'm showing them nothing. So what they're seeing is from their own imaginations. He says there's major judgment coming, and the prophets were busy doing their own thing. And the people were suffering because of it and would be judged. Verse 6 says, they have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have you not seen a vain vision? And have you not spoken a lying divination? Whereas you say, the Lord saith, albeit or but, I have not spoken. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because you have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord. I don't know. That to me is bad news. And my hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord God. Those are some very strong words against those who assume to speak for the Lord when the Lord hasn't spoken. Who assume to speak for the Lord when they speak not the word of God, but their own imaginations. False words, he says, and lying visions. Now, how were God's people to know that? Because God's people have been warned. Remember Deuteronomy 18, Deuteronomy 13. God's people were warned way before, hundreds of years before this chapter was written. But yet they did not do their homework. They did not study the word of God. They did not have a good, solid relationship with God. They were letting the leadership do it, and the leadership went off. And we're warned over and over not to let that happen to us. False words and lying visions. That's what they've spoken, and God says, and that's what they've seen. And God says, I will not claim them. I don't even own them. I refuse to claim them as mine. I did not send them. You know, these guys and these girls, we'll talk about the girls in a moment, they held positions of prominence because they were, quote, spiritual leaders, people look up to them. Doesn't it amaze you, or doesn't it shock you when you see spiritual leaders that you and I look up to, when we see them crash? Doesn't it just shock you? I remember, because I didn't agree with everything he taught, but I really thought Jimmy Swaggart was gifted. You know, and amazingly, the ability that he had to communicate. And he crashed, and you know, the guy is still down. And it just shocks you, didn't it? When the spiritual leaders are there and they should be leading, instead they're fumbling and others are following along. And that's what God says. They held positions of prominence. They were looked up to by God's people. But the Lord says they won't be looked up to anymore. And you take someone like Jimmy Swaggart, and he is not looked up to anymore. He can't get back with it. God still loves him, but he just can't get back with it. Lord says that will be no more. They will have, now this, about these false prophets, he says here, they will have no place with his people because of their lying words and their lying visions. No more place for them. Their names, this is amazing to me, will no longer be listed in Israel's record books. Their names will be taken off the books. In the cities, lists of citizens, they won't be listed. They held spiritual positions, high prominence, high profile, men and women, and they won't even have their name listed in the attendance. What that literally means is this: it deprives them of their right to citizenship. That's how ugly God thinks this is, to be a false prophet or a false prophetess. He deprives them of even calling themselves citizens of Jerusalem or children of Israel. They're deprived of their citizenship. And God says also he will not allow them to enter the land ever again, meaning they're going to die as captives in a strange land. Of course, some of them are already captive in Babylon when Ezekiel writes this. Verse 10 says, Even because they have seduced my people, saying, peace, and there was no peace, and one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. The prophets were saying peace. There was no peace. Listen today to some of the teachings that are going on nationwide about how you can have prosperity. You can have all you need, health and wealth, and you can have it. It is your right as a child. And that is not there. That is not there in Scripture. Yet they are some of the most popular and rich teachers on the planet today. Some of the things that they say are there, but they are twisted and they are a little different than what it actually says. And so they'll use the argument, here's what it says. And you'll say, well, yes, that is what it says, but it's not saying what you're saying that it says. You are changing its meaning. You are throwing something in there, and you are trying to get me to go that way. If you get me to go that way, I'm going to end up shipwrecked. My faith could be shipwrecked, as Paul tells Timothy, happened to a lot of people. They ended up on the rocks, their faith shipwrecked, because they misunderstood, because they were led astray. Let me read you the language again. Even because they have seduced my people. Many people who are hurting, you can imagine having an illness that just won't go away, and some guy coming into your town and saying, you don't have to have that. Here's the verse that says, you don't have to, you can claim. And imagine what happens to that individual when this guy is gone after you gave him a lot of your money, and he or she take off, and this is still your situation. Imagine the fear and the confusion based on what you thought God's word says and then what someone told you that it meant. And now none of it's making sense. Can you imagine the heartache and the heartbreak and the confusion these individuals as they end up shipwrecked, some of them hating the Lord or being so angry with him because he wouldn't keep his promise or thinking that they are so weak in their faith. That's the real problem. When someone says it's your faith, it's your faith. If you had the faith, God says, they seduce my people. They say peace. There is no peace. I like this. One built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. He says, their ministries are basically like a flimsy wall covered with whitewash. Their ministries really look good from the outside. These false prophets that Ezekiel talks about, their ministries looked good, looked solid. They were in positions where people looked up to them. People would bow down as they walked by. Remember the Pharisees when Jesus, condemned them and said, "You Pharisees, you love to have the attention on the streets. You love it to when you're given the best seats in the house. Because of your spiritual position and how high and how holy you want people to think you are." And he condemns that, Jesus does. Their ministry is like a flimsy wall covered with whitewash. They do look good on the outside. He said to the Pharisees, on the outside, you're whitewashed tombstones. You're full of dead men's bones, but you look great outside. When people watch you go by or see you on television, people are wowed. But God knows what's going on the inside. Instead of calling Israel back to the Lord and recognizing their moral failure, these prophets were basically trying to cover it up. They'd covered up with whitewashed plaster over the walls. They got flimsy walls built and they're kind of covering them over. The idea, I guess, that if we want to put it into hour or sort of day, the idea is sheetrock, drywall. You know, those of you who have worked with sheetrock or with drywall, those of you who have worked with it know that you don't have to be very precise at all, do you? I mean, you can, I've worked with it. They said, cut a straight line and I'll cut it and it looks like a Z. And then I'll say, oh, we redo it? No, stick it on the wall, man. The taper will fix that. Isn't that what they tell you? You have a hole that's 2 foot wide. The taper's going to cover it. You take the mud and hey, you ever worked with sheetrock? Is that the truth or what? I mean, you look at a wall when they're finished and it's perfect. That's why they get the big bucks. What does the mud and the tape do, everybody? We all know. It hides the flaws. It hides the cracks. There could be holes in it, and you can just tape it and mud it and tape it until finally that hole is gone away. It hides the uneven places. When you take that hammer and you're trying to drive that little nail in there, you hit all around it and you've got hammer little head dents everywhere. And when the taper is gone, you can't tell where anybody hit that with a hammer. You can't tell the damage that's been done to that. You can't tell how it's been weakened or anything. If they're good, they just cover it and there it is. That's what the false prophets were doing. They were covering up the holes. They were patching all the breaks. They were covering up all the cracks just with whitewash, kind of spackle, just kind of mudded over. And everything looks great on the outside. Solid wall. But the wall was not solid at all. Their false words, he says, and their lying visions were basically whitewashing. It sort of looked nice, but the wall is weak and it's going to crumble. They were saying everything's all right. It's all smooth sailing ahead. And God said nothing could be further from reality. Nothing could be further from the truth. Verse 11. Say unto them which daub it with untempered mortar. Say unto them this, that it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower. And ye, O great hailstones, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall tear it, rend it. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, where is the daubing wherewith ye have daubed it? God says, since the false prophets were the ones who were trying to cover over the problems, whitewash the truth, what's going to happen is they're going to be blamed. They're going to be questioned when it all comes crashing down. Because it will all come. God says it's going to come crashing down. We live in a time where the same thing's going to take place. The prophets are going to be blamed because all this falseness that the American church is being built upon is crashing down around us and going to continue to come crashing down. And you're going to see slowly those who truly have a relationship with Jesus Christ and those who have no clue what's going on. They've just been in church for years. You're going to see it. And we are seeing it slowly. Slowly take place. People that have been in church for years, years. You'll listen to them and you just listen and you'll realize they have no clue what the Bible has to say about this. They have no clue. They don't know. You'll listen to people that you think are solid in their faith. You listen to them talk and you see they really don't know what the Bible says about this and how the Bible deals with it. They don't know. They've been in Bible study for years, but they do not know, and you can tell, because it begins to show. They whitewashed everything. You know, many so-called Christians are going to be angry at their spiritual leaders. And some are already. They've been let down and angry at their leaders for feeding them poisonous food or feeding them junk food instead of the Word of God. And it would amaze you in this country, founded on biblical standards and principles, it would amaze you if you just started walking around the country saying to someone, do you go to church? Yes, I do. Regularly? Yes. Do you know what the Bible has to say about false prophets in Deuteronomy 13? And they will look at you and say, no clue. I have no idea. Do you know what the Bible has to say about astrology in Deuteronomy 18? And they will look at you and say, I have no idea what you're talking about. Yet they go to church regularly in this country. We're in trouble. God says they whitewash it. They cover it with their false prophecies, with their lying visions. The things that they've conjured up in their own hearts and from their own imaginations. We don't need to give people stuff we've conjured up in our own hearts. We need to give people God's word. We need to be able to tell people, this is what God, thus saith the Lord, the just shall live by faith. We need to be able to tell people, here is what God's word specifically says. We need to be able to do that. That's our calling. That's what we're all about. Verse 13 says this. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will even rend it or tear it with a stormy wind in my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger, and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. So will I break down the wall that you have daubed with untempered mortar, and bring it down to the ground so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered and it shall fall and you shall be consumed in the midst thereof and you shall know that I am the Lord. There he says it again. So you'll know I'm the Lord. Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall and upon them that have daubed it with untempered mortar and will say unto you, the wall is no more, neither they that daubed it. To wit, the prophets of Israel which prophesy concerning Jerusalem and which see visions of peace for her and there is no peace, saith the Lord God. God says, I'll send judgment. Judgment will come. Wind, hail, rainstorms. And these walls that are weak and crumbling, that are whitewashed to look nice, he says, will fall down completely. And the false prophets will be destroyed because God says his wrath will be set against them. You can take that to the bank. That's God's promise. He says, that's what's going to happen. Ezekiel is speaking directly. This is the word of God, he says. Now he's going to focus on the ladies. That was the false prophets. But there aren't only men teaching the Bible. There aren't only men with this so-called gift of prophecy. There are women teaching the Bible. There are women with this gift of prophecy. And so he says, let's talk to the women. Likewise, thou son of man, set your face against the women, the daughters of thy people, which prophesy out of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them. You need to speak against them now. And say, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women that sew pillows to all armholes, and make kerchiefs upon the head of every stature to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people? Will you save the souls alive that come unto you? And will you pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and pieces of bread, to slay the souls that should not die and save the souls alive that should not live by your lying to my people that hear your lies? So to the false prophetesses, to the ladies, because we don't want to leave them out. Now turn from the false prophets and let's talk to the false prophetesses. Whew, it's hard to say. The ladies in the land who teach and speak for the Lord and prophesy. The daughters of your people who prophesy, listen, the same as the men, from their own hearts, from their own imaginations. The women, and I think this is key, the women were no different than the men. Did you hear that? The women were no different than the men. And that's key here. And God points it out and separates them specifically for that reason, so that we will realize that just because she is teaching it, and, you know, women are, many times are considered a little bit more, they have this sense that they're a little bit more spiritual. That may be the case. I doubt it, because God says there's no difference. But at least if you think it's the case, then notice the women are doing the same things from their own imaginations and from their own hearts. They're not getting this from the Lord. They're getting this from their own hearts, just as the men are getting it from their own hearts. The women were doing some sewing. Boy, women's work is never done. You got to teach the Bible and sew. And what they were sewing was magic charms that you would wear under your arms, round your neck, on your ankles, on your wrists. They were used by many nations in those days. And they were used by the Israelis as well as a couple of things. One, as good luck charms. Number two, to keep evil away. Not good luck, but to keep evil spirits, let's say, or evil things, or evil happenings, to keep them away. So you would see them, they would have them tied under their arms, they would have them sewn into some of their clothing, or they would wear them as a band on their wrist, or around their neck, or around their ankles. And you know, when you go to Africa, and you get out into the tribes, they wear those. When you go over to the Far East, over into Vietnam, over into Cambodia, into Laos, and Burma, into Thailand, into Malaysia, up there into China, you will see very commonly they'll wear little amulets around their necks, little sewn pieces of things around their ankles, around their wrists, sometimes in their ears, wherever. And the false prophetesses were handing these out as good luck charms or to keep evil spirits away. They would also sew these long veils for the heads of the prophetesses themselves. For many reasons they made those veils. But the main reason was so that you could recognize them as a prophetess. You know, how do they stand out in the crowd? You know, you've seen one lady wearing, jewelry and the garb. And so a lot of them are out there. How are you going to know the ones who are really holy? Well, they would set themselves kind of like the Pharisees with special long veils. And you would recognize them. And of course, then they would teach and they would preach. God says what it does is it ensnares his people. You see, the people start to be afraid, because the prophetess made this for me. I've got to wear it everywhere I go. If I don't wear it, I'll have bad luck. Or if I don't wear it, the demons might get me. That's what the prophetess told me. Of course, they were making profits, these prophetesses, from selling these things to people. It ensnares God's people. In times of difficulty, instead of turning people to the Lord for help, these women were turning people to themselves. They would come to the prophetess and say, tell me what God says. And I need, I lost my little amulet in the washer. It got washed and it got ruined. I gotta have another one. And instead of teaching the people to depend on God, they were really getting people to listen to them. Just like the men, the false prophets were doing the same thing. Trust me on this. Everything's all right. The women were doing that and passing out, selling their little wares. And the people should have depended on God, but they depended on the prophetess to give them a word and give them another magic charm. Radio program in Southern California. The lady would speak. And she would say, listen to the word of the prophetess. This is what God says. Listen to the word of the prophetess. And she would yell. This is her whole radio program. And almost every other sentence was, listen to the word of the prophetess and send your money. If you send your money and listen to the word of the prophetess, you will this, that, and you listen to the word. And I thought, soon a lot of people are listening in because instead of reading your Bible, you want to see what she's got to say today. And pretty soon, you're completely dependent on some screaming woman instead of on God's word. On some man who's seeing special things, who takes trips to heaven, and he's seeing special things, and you're listening to him now instead of God's word himself. And these guys justify, hey, look, John did it, Paul did it, I'm just blessed to do it too. And I look at you and go, I doubt it, dude. But we'll see. We'll give you 20 years and let's just watch the fruit. But I doubt it till then. You know, it's just kind of the way I'm built. It's what God said we ought to do. God says that they were lying to the people. And here's what he says in those verses that we read. What was it? I have it written here. It was verses 17 through 19. He says something that I think is interesting. You have killed those that should have lived. You've killed those that should have lived, and you have allowed those to live that should have been killed. Okay, you got it? He says, this is to the false prophetesses now. He says, you have killed those that should have lived, and you have allowed to live those that should have been put to death. All he's saying is, if you were really speaking for the Lord, you should have exposed and denounced the evil practices of the people. You should have been exposing them and showing those people need to be judged and condemned and put to death. The sins that they were doing, some of them should have been stoned to death, but they were being allowed to live. And he says, that's what you should have been doing, speaking for the Lord and exposing and denouncing the things that are wrong. Instead, you were doing just the opposite. You were letting the wicked go free and get away with it. And now judgment is coming on everyone because of it. Verse 20 says, wherefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against your pillows. You know, those little things you're sowing. Wherewith you there hunt the souls to make them fly. And I will tear them from your arms. And we'll let the souls go, even the souls that you hunt to make them fly. Your kerchiefs or veils also will I tear and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall be no more in your hand to be hunted, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Oh, what a statement to the prophets and to the prophetesses. God says, you're going to know. You're really going to know I am God. No, you're speaking supposedly on my behalf, but I haven't sent you, but you're going to know I'm God. God says in his anger, he would pour out his anger on the prophetesses. He's going to do away with their power over the people because they had the people sort of hypnotized, mesmerized. He's going to do away with their power. He's going to tear their magic charms off of them and set his people free like birds are set free to fly. Notice the spiritual leaders are keeping the people back from really flying free, from really serving the Lord and being able to walk with him. They're holding them in their own sway. God says, we're not going to have that. We're going to get rid of that. Verse 22, two verses left. And a few more. Yeah. Because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad. And strengthen the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way, by promising him life. Therefore, you shall see no more vanity nor divine divinations, for I will deliver my people out of your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Once again, to the ladies, he says, you're going to know that I'm God. I'm going to show you. I'm going to prove it. The righteous, those who honestly want to serve, those who honestly want to hear God's word, he says, the righteous are disheartened. They're disillusioned by the lies of the false prophetesses. Some of the people who know God and have a personal relationship with him realize that this is useless, this is empty, and they're disheartened. It hurts them, just as you see today. And the wicked, he says, are encouraged to continue on in their wickedness instead of turning from their wicked ways. God says, when judgment comes, the people are going to see what these women are really all about, what these false prophetesses are really all about. And the prophetesses would be forced to admit their own sin. And then God says he will banish false visions and divinations from the land and save his people from the deception of those visions and those divinations. Divinations, to divine, means to find out the unknown through any way beside God. Make sense? To divine means to find out the unknown by any means outside of God. You and I are Christians. If we want to find out the unknown, we're told in Isaiah chapter 8, if you want to know, ask God. If you want to find out the unknown, if you want to find out what lies ahead, if you want to find out what's happening and you don't understand, the Bible says, ask God. To use divination is to find it out any other way besides asking God. So I'm going to close with reading Deuteronomy chapter 18 when he tells us what to stay away from besides false prophets and prophetesses. Deuteronomy 18 verse 9, beginning in verse 9. He says to his children of Israel, when you are coming to the land which the Lord God has given you, you shall not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that makes his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. That literally means to offer your son as to an idol through fire, or to let your children walk on the hot coals to be dedicated to the god of Molech or whoever for his service. There shall not be found any one of you that uses divination. Divination, as I explained to you, is finding out the unknown through any means besides God himself. You're using divination if you're trying to read your horoscope. If your horoscope says, today's going to be a good day for you, this is a good day to play the stock market. Basically, that's divination. God says that's an abomination, and you will not learn to do it. You will not learn the practices of the people, of the heathen in the land. Don't do it. He says, there shall not be any of you that is an observer of times. An observer of times is exactly what I just said, astrology. Trying to figure out the things that are going on by astrology. That's to be an observer of times. That would be the stars, the moon, the sun, the planets, etc. An enchanter or a witch, those are self-explanatory. An enchanter would be a wizard, which a little later on is listed as the same. Or a charmer or a consulter with familiar spirits. Familiar spirits, which witches are commonly used familiar spirits. Those are evil spirits, and witches are the most it's most common to see witches using familiar spirits. By that I mean, when you see witches, they'll have a bird or a cat or a toad or some sort of small animal, and the spirits inhabit those little animals, and the witches use them as familiars or familiar spirits. So we're told we don't do that. Or a wizard. Or a necromancer. A necromancer would be someone who communicates with the dead. Popular program on TV right now, isn't there? Somebody who communicates with the dead. He amazes everybody, and he tells you what your aunt says and what your mother, all that stuff. God says, but you as a Christian, there shall not be found among you anyone who does this. That's what some of the prophets and prophetesses were doing. For all that do these things are an abomination to the Lord. Because of these abominations, the Lord thy God does drive them out from before thee. So that makes it easy for you and I. There shall not be found among any of us anyone who practices any of those things. See how easy? But as we close, one more thing. Deuteronomy 13, I won't read it to you, you can read it for yourself. Deuteronomy 13 says something that I think should shock us. Also frighten us a little bit, because I think that that's its purpose. To go, whoa, I better pay attention. Deuteronomy 13 says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and that prophet or prophetess prophesies, and the thing that they prophesy comes to pass. Did you hear that? The prophet or the prophetess says, this is going to happen in 3 weeks. And in 3 weeks, it happens. Does that mean that they are a real prophet? Deuteronomy 13 says, no, not necessarily. Because they could prophesy and it could come to pass, but then their teaching is not solid doctrine. Deuteronomy 13 says, don't listen to them. Have nothing to do with them. For the Lord your God is testing you to see what? Read Deuteronomy 13. To see whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. My point is this. A prophetess that is false, or a prophet that is false, could prophesy something and it could come to pass. Does that make them a real prophet? No. What makes them a man or woman of God is their teaching, their doctrine, and it has to be solid all the way through. Deuteronomy 13, read that. It's amazing. Gives us a way to test, to know. And it all comes back to what Jesus said. You'll know them by their fruits. You'll know them by the doctrine that they teach. So there has to be time given. Most of us, if somebody says, in 3 weeks, you're going to win the lottery. Well, if we win it, we go, that guy's a prophet. You know, that guy, that woman, she came to me. She said she had a vision and I'm going to be going to Africa. And I went to Africa. She must be. Not necessarily. What does she teach? What is her lifestyle? What is her life like all the time? All those things have to come into play, not just one or two. Deuteronomy 13 is also included in the Bible, just like Deuteronomy 18, just like 1 John, just like Ezekiel, just like Jeremiah. Pray about these. This is our responsibility. The power of the Holy Spirit, this is up to us. God is calling every one of us to a life of trusting in Him and being men and women of the Word. Let's bow our heads.